get started. It's past the time, and I believe we have a quorum today, so we can get going. This is a meeting of the State Geographic Information Council. It is a meeting held under the Open Records, Open Meeting Act, and the proper notification has been done to satisfy that legislation. We have a sign-in sheet over at the door. If you haven't had a chance to sign in, you might want to do that. It's important to us that we can keep you up to date on things that are going on, notify you by email, and it might be important to you if you're trying to get your GISP certification to prove that you were actually at this meeting. So it works both ways on that. If you would, let's open up with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you'd join me, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, as we traditionally do at our meetings, we go around and we introduce who we are, what agency or group we're with, if we're with a group, and so we'll start with the front table here with Mike.
567, Oklahoma Department of Commerce.
I'm Ryan Poots, sitting in for Trish Whedon of the Oklahoma Association of Regional Councils.
Eric Bartholomew with the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife.
Jay Adams, Department of Transportation.
Mike Shagrew, Water Resources Board.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Wade Patterson, Garfield County Assessor.
Jane Weber, Oklahoma Geological Survey.
Troy Frazier, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
Bureau of Augie City Government.
Michael Larson for the State Geographer.
Amy Britton, Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate you all being here today. Yeah. Hello, Mark.
I'm very retarded.
Okay, well, we do have a quorum. The February meeting minutes have been circulated. Are there any corrections to those meeting minutes? If not, I'd here entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign for opposing. Okay, minutes approved. Committee reports. Let's see, we've got a couple. Dan, do you want to bring us up on the land cover?
Sure. We had an opportunity to apply for some funds. 50 funds was available as part of the Great Plains Landscape Conservation Cooperative through the Fish and Wildlife Service. The trick was we had to have a proposal by May 30th, and the other part of the trick was money to spend. We put in a proposal for $44,000 to get started on the land cover. Just we're concentrating on basically the painting. I'm hoping we can get that done this time. It's $46,000. We're supposed to hear back this week when we have it again.
Okay, well, good. Anybody have any questions for Dan on that? All right. And Shelley, you want to talk about our job descriptions?
Not a whole lot has been done with the job descriptions. I've talked to him, and not a whole lot has been accomplished there. But first meeting is the main thing that started the chair to OPM, and hopefully I'll be included.
Is there something holding you up? Should they leave?
Well, originally the lady that I've been working with in the office, she has retired. Right. And so that's a key issue. And then there was an agency that had some questions and concerns. And so when the new people came on, they saw these questions and concerns. And I'm not quite sure how they want to approach it yet as to whether or not they and so they are, I've been working with trying to ask them what we can do to help, you know, how can we help them educate what they need to know, and the guy's like, well, we're not working for them. So after a couple of months of the churches, that's the trying to come back with us, get some small rules and get their questions answered so that.
Appreciate Shelly bulldogging this thing and staying with it. And now that we got Trish on it, they're going to start feeling the bite, I think. Okay. Well, we can move on into our presentation today. We've got Sheila Wilson with the GIS Certification Institute. She's going to visit with us about that program and how we can get involved with that if we'd like. So, Sheila, it's all yours, and I'll get out of the way here. So.
GISP, that makes hiring easier for everybody.
So they don't have to know exactly what we do, but they know what to look for by this PE. And then we also encourage long-term educational development. So there's some general knowledge, and this is the weird bullets that we're going to see as we go through. They won't go away. Certification is that process of demonstrating a level of expertise. And it's designed to recognize expertise. So certification is not a beginning of your career or an end of your career, but a benchmark along the way to show that you've achieved some level of expertise. A certificate is an award recognizing training. So, you know, I'll talk about this later. But yes, or I, they started the certification as a certificate program where if you're good at yes, or I projects, you can receive that certificate. And then licensure would be similar to a PE. And accreditation is for academics. So Oklahoma State University is accredited. So certification through the GIS Certification Institute is voluntary. It's not required. It's not a license like a PE where you're required to do it for the state. It's voluntary. It's got to be geospatial technology. It's self-documented. There's a point-based system. And the certification is available online, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on it. There's no examination at this time, Charles, at this time. However, you guys will be the very first group to hear. We elected a new president last month at the end of March, and his goal is to have a demand in place, theoretically, in the next couple of years. His goal for this year is to develop a concrete proposal for examination. So the first step is to formulate a yes or no. Are we going to do it or not? And then take the step forward with the bias that he wants in examination. So the intention is to go with examination. However, that's only informal. I'm assuming we'll see what everyone says as we go along. And this will be administered by GISCI, so GIS Institution. We're self-regulating, so if we're unlicensed, we regulate ourselves. Again, it's voluntary, but it protects the profession. So we all know people who've taken a GIS class, and so they're now GIS experts. And then there are those of us who've been using it for 15 or 20 years who know how to use it. We know why we push the button. We know not just what buttons we push, but what happens. We know the theory behind it. Maybe not, you know, we don't know all the theory through the whole thing, but we know our area very well because GIS is broad, so we know what we're doing when we do it. So GIS as a profession. In order for GIS to be a profession, it has to have these things that we need to do. It must have these attributes in common. So we have a mission. We have a common language. Not everyone knows, very few people know all the acronyms associated with GIS. We certainly know our own language, and we can certainly talk in code where no one else can understand some of our acronyms. We do have specialized training. This is seen at the university level as well as in vendors. We have culture in the work. People have been doing it for 15, 20, 25 years. There's definitely a culture in the work. We have a specialized body of knowledge. Now, this body of knowledge is a first step. Okay? This GIS and T-body of knowledge that was developed by Mrs. GIS and AG. It's that first step, but it is there. We have a formal organization that's named. We have a code of ethics, and then we have the certification process. So this is one DLQ attributes of the profession. The federal government recognizes, about 3 years ago, I think, recognized that GIS is one of the top three critical emerging technologies in the United States, and they have developed a core competency group for different job titles. So I don't know if you have that. We're going to talk about that. It is available, and I can lead you to the right place. Okay. And that gives you an idea of what a GIS analyst does, et cetera, et cetera. So what do we do with the GIS Certification Institute? We define the profession. We define what a professional GIS person looks like. We build the body of professionals. We advocate, and then we support the profession. Evolve. Interestingly, there's no bullets on this page, so they just GIS has five members. So GIS professionals are not members of GIS staff, only the five organizations, and they each appoint two board members to the board, and ten board members each of the five organizations. We have standing committees. The applicant review committee has about 80 to 90 people, and this group takes the application, so people out of the application, they take the application, and they review it to see if you qualify for the ranking of GISP. The certification committee is the group that develops the standards by which the applicants are reviewed. The ethics committee oversees the ethics, so they write like the code of conduct and the ethics rules. And they implement it. They also oversee any ethics cases. We had a couple of ethics cases in the past 2 years that were very interesting. From which, you know, as a new organization, we're learning a lot, but we also have a lot of, there's a large body of knowledge on ethics that will help us walk through it. And then the outreach committee, this is the group that goes out and says, this is what GISP does, this is what we do. And so they want to promote GISP so that we have a better understanding, so that everyone else has a better understanding of what we are and what we do and how we do it. So we have almost 4,700 certified GISP now in all 50 states, and then there are 36 in Oklahoma. I am Charles. 36 of us in Oklahoma. Arkansas is joking at us. Someone from Arkansas is joking that there's more in the Tulsa area than there is in Arkansas. That's true. There are. We have 36 in Oklahoma, and there are GISPs in more than 30 countries. Okay? Now, many of the countries only have one, Egypt and Sudan only have one. This is a United States organization. This is made in the United States. Okay? There are international people who have submitted to the rank of GISP, but different levels of censorship. It can be just a private, okay, you know what, this is gone, you're going to stay. You don't need to, you know, need to change my property. To being permanently and irrevocably losing your GIS status. So there's stages in between there. As a non-GISP, you know, you might, if not, you won't have ethics charges filed against you. You might do a job different than your GIS certification. The cost is $250 for initial certification and $115 for renewal. You renew every 5 years. And to renew, you need to show, first of all, education, and you also need to show that you are promoting, or not promoting, but that you're contributing back professionally to the government. The initial certification is very rigorous. It takes a long time to fill out. You expect it to take time. It's in an hour, you take a few days. And then you try to go back and find all of the documentation that goes along with it. You have to show documentation for everything. I started it and put this aside for a year because I couldn't get all the documentation. It was that long, that rigorous, that. But once you get it, the renewal actually is a lot simpler. It takes less than a third of the point to get it done faster, they approve quicker, and the application is a lot simpler. The concept is once you've met that rigorous GISP status, the renewal is a lot simpler. I'm thankful for it. So other certifications, there are other certifications out there, as we all know. There's ASPRS and then the Cadastral Mapping Specialist. Both of those are very specialized, whereas the GIS certification is a broader, a wider umbrella of GIS. And in the works, I mentioned earlier the ESRI technical certification. This is similar, if you haven't heard about it, this is similar to Microsoft certification. And so what they're going to do is say that you know how to use your software and you know how to use it correctly. Basically, that's the education. But it's not the same as our certification, as a certificate, where the certification is a broader professional certification. The GIS team has been endorsed by 6 states. There's at least a half dozen other states that are actively working to get an endorsement ready for this year. And by endorsement, we don't have to go to, you know, the Senate or to the governor or something. If you guys as a group were to endorse it, that would be valid. So here is a quote. I'm not going to read it. Montana just endorsed late last year, and basically, this is a quick summary of the quote is that it's important to be recognized as a professional and not as a general GIS teacher. And that's what I referenced at the very beginning. You know, people who take a flag, you know how to push a button, or you know, we do some engagement. My background is in pipeline, so I worked for my supervisor who was an engineer. GIS and you can pull it up and you can figure out what he needs to figure out. But he wasn't a GIS professional, he was a professional engineer. Nor did he want to be a GIS professional, so he hired us colleagues of mine to do the work because he wanted someone who was a professional to do the work and do it effectively to do the work. It was by Chris Larson. I had the opportunity to meet her a couple of years ago. Had a lot of traveling. So, the next few slides are what's next with the GIS certification is what's coming up. We're doing lots of outreach. We've already been to the AAG, GSA conference. If you're going to be at any of these conferences, we have a booth. Go by and see me. Say hi. I'll be at the ESRI, GIS, Jurissa, and Ministry of Leadership members. We're also looking for state endorsements. I'm going to do come to an Oklahoma. And then we're also reaching out to human resource departments to explain what a GIS is, so that they'll understand what they need for when they're
Township, where do you work out of? Who pays you? Where does the money come from? Whom do you answer to?
Great question. So I actually work out of my home. I'm spoiled rotten. I had to get dressed up today. But I'm in Tulsa. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We also have an office in Des Plaines, Illinois. I answer to the board of directors. So we have 10 board of directors that I answer to. And then my pay comes from the funds received for the certification. So all of, when you apply, the certification funds pay for me, they pay for travel to go to different groups, they pay for to different conferences, pays for the website, pays for brochures, all of that.
And are you the only paid member?
I'm the only paid guest. Everyone else is a volunteer. We do have a management contract with Eurisa, because Eurisa helps start us. So we have a management contract with Eurisa who provides a part-time accountant and part-time office help. And that's in the display. So when you send in your application, you'll see Katie Moorhead. She's the part-time Eurisa. She takes it, she scans it in, sends it to me. I send it to one of the reviewers, or actually it usually goes to two reviewers at a time, and then they review it. They're all volunteers. And so she takes care of a lot of the paperwork like that. Sitting out, if you're having an event and you would like some brochures with GIS certification, you can contact me. I will either mail you brochures or Katie will. That's what we do. I also work with the other organization, the member organization. Yes.
California, they require a test for any GIS position. They're listed as accepting the certification. Do you know if that does anything towards their improvement as far as replacing that test, or are they still maintain all of their other criteria and resources? This is just a label as far as they're concerned.
I actually don't have an answer to that. I'm not sure what they're going to do. There are certain states that require an exam, including South Carolina, Florida, and then you can find the as well. And usually the test is a broader, includes GIS, surveying, and photogrammetry. I don't have to come up with that, but I think you may suggest.
I think it's just GIS.
The organizations were, member organizations were Eurisa, AAG.
Eurisa, AAG, MISTIC, UCGIS, and GITA.
What about ASPRS?
No, they're not members at this time.
Are they interested? Are you talking back and forth? Because their certification is test-based, and I know it's a slightly different certification than them.
Right.
But it does cover them, I mean, in their opinion, as far as the topic.
Informally, our president is actively working towards a strong coalition with AAP. But that is not necessarily protected publicly. It is something
that works. So you said, oh, the California test covers survey? Includes
no.
Survey department?
No,
oh.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, it's just GIS. For state employment, it feels.
For state?
Yes.
Really funded by the state?
Yes.
Okay. So.
They're on the jacket. I'm learning a lot of this stuff. I know pipelines really well. I know GIS really well. All right, other questions?
For the 4 years of experience, you said full-time, so I know a lot of people in my agency, we only get hired as environmental program specialists. We don't have a GIS job descriptor, so you get assigned other duties other than just GIS as one portion of your job. So would they not qualify for certification?
Well, actually, on the application, you put down the consent that you do GIS. And so the sum of experience has to equal 4 years. So it's a full-time, right.
Okay.
And that's what it's called, full-time.
Okay.
So if you work half-time, you're going to have to work 8 years. And that is common. I mean, you see that a lot. A lot of clients have that
Allow the
questions for Sheila? Okay, well, thanks, Sheila. We appreciate you coming in. Okay, one of the things I heard is Sheila's basically asking us to endorse GISP, and it's not on the agenda today for that reason, that I think it's something, if we want to consider that, we consider that at a future meeting, give you some time to think about it and so forth. So what I'm thinking is that if it would please the council, I can put it on next month's agenda if you want to take that up. Does anyone have any thoughts one way or the other on that?
I think it's a great idea. You know, one of the things we in the assessor's office do is any training I can get, any certification, advanced accreditation that I can get my group is wonderful. You know, any class I can send them to, as Troy can tell you, in our profession, people question our integrity and our birthright about every day, especially when we send out change notices. But one of the best things we have in our office is whenever I have all the certificates on the wall, because you know what it took to get that certificate, and it may just be a piece of paper, but it eliminates so many protest hearings because people assume, and rightfully so, that you have done all these things to get all these certificates on the wall. They don't go down to the level of, well, what makes you think you can appraise my property, or what makes you think you can map my property. When they start seeing these things, that stuff is eliminated and we get right to the heart of the issue. So I love the idea. I love the concept. I love that it's not so expensive or so difficult that a county can't afford, you know, to send somebody. You know, Troy and I were just talking. You've got counties that haven't done any mapping because they just don't have anybody to do it, or, you know, it'll sit there for 2 and 3 years. This is one of those things that seems to be very cost-effective, rewarding. You get rewarded for your past experience. It's not something you have to do in the future. So I like the concept. I really like that.
Okay.
We also have to be a little careful, too, about the repercussions from it as well. I know several GIS professionals in Ohio that have been doing the work for 10-plus years, but because they don't have their GISP, because it's been endorsed in Ohio, there are people that are passing them left and right that don't have as much experience, all because of a simple piece of paper. You'll have a lot of repercussions from people that have been in this business for a long time. And just because they don't have this little certification, all of a sudden they're put in reverse in their career.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some things to consider on both sides of this issue, but let's talk about it and see where she goes. Okay, so we'll have it on next month. All right, good. Next item is our GIS discussion and data issues. Is anyone having specifically they'd like to bring up on data? I'll relay something that I found out recently. You know, we were looking at an opportunity, or the opportunity was presented to get color infrared on photography this year with USDA to partnership, and you know, no one had any money available to do that, so that didn't happen from that standpoint. But I did receive notification from a USDA person that Forest Service actually stepped up with money to acquire the color infrared this year, and the deliverable that will be provided this year will consist of the compressed county mosaics in natural color, and then the individual DOQs will be in the four-band color infrared. So that'll be available probably later in the fall, perhaps, whenever they do certification. So hopefully we can get our hands on those, purchase or somehow, and have those available. And we could also take and put those into a county mosaic as well with the Lizard Tech software that we have over at the office. So that's be exciting for those of you that can use the color infrared and want to use it. So, looking forward to that. They are CERT-X is flying this year for Oklahoma, and they're already underway. I'm not sure exactly when they'll conclude, maybe the end of this month, perhaps. Deliverables supposed to be coming out, 45 days, I think, after they finish the flying season, so maybe mid-July, something like that, that photography should be coming available to us. So. So, good. Okay.
Resolution on that again?
1 meter. 1 meter. And we keep asking if there's any possibility of getting Leaf off. And there are certain folks within USDA who'd like to have Leaf off. I think East Texas got it a year or so ago. But it was kind of a special deal. But Julie, is that the primary? Are they using that for crop verification? Is that the primary? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I think Amy had something she'd like to bring up on the water issue work group.
Yeah, we want to propose that we set up a working group with the environmental state agencies to look at some data sets that we have in common, specifically water body ID system and the water supply wells. So if anybody wants to participate, you can shoot me an email. We'll set up a meeting or something to get us started. So I think the water board was interested.
Yeah, we're very interested in that. One of the things I'd like to do is, you know, work more towards the integration with the NHD, the National Hydrography Data Set. And, you know, right now we've got several different lakes and streams layers between all the agencies, and I'd like to get that down to where everybody's using the same thing. Not a forceful thing, but if we can work together from the agencies and
just have it available.
Yeah, and really I think we would open it to anybody that was interested, not just the environmental agencies, but you know, ag and wildlife and maybe transportation, probably leaving somebody out, but we'd definitely like input from everybody.
Yeah, anybody out there, but you don't have to be a state agency, really. I mean, if you're interested in water, I think they'd appreciate the input.
So if they're interested, you can email me. My email is amy.britton, B-R-I-T-T-A-I-N, at dq.ok.gov.
Okay. Anything else on any data? Mm-hmm. Okay, any new business we need to consider? How about announcements? GOG, I'm sure there's something going on there.
June 3rd at the National Weather Center in Norman, we're having our normal kind of kickoff summer meeting. It's got some interesting topics this time. How many times have you wanted to take and bring in weather data into our GIS? Yeah, no, I knew that you have. we've got a couple of people discussing that on different ways to do that. Some of it's free, some of it's for pay. Kind of show you what's out there, because I'll be the first one to say, I don't know exactly all the products that are available out there. Once we kind of know what's out there, we can kind of look in and see some different ways we're maybe bringing into our systems and using on a day-to-day basis. Another topic kind of fits along with what you're talking about, ESRI certification. Stacia's going to come and give a talk on that and discuss what it's about, how to get it, kind of what they're looking at, how it would work, how it would fit in with and complement GISP. So it's all free. You get lunch, basically, and get to see some interesting topics. Go ahead and sign up online. Go to scott.org. Register online. It's free. So if you have any questions, holler at Shelly or me or send us an email. So June 3rd, half day.
Charles, doesn't SCOG have some kind of relationship with the GISP as far as the getting your points?
Formally?
Not formally, but...
Formal, no, but what we have been doing in all of the conference guides lately in the last 4 years at least on the regional and the state level is very back of the conference guide. We've been tallying up, so you can have a tally sheet that will be accepted by the GISP for their certification, for their renewal process. If you fill that out, that's basically authorized by them then. So that's the only kind of documentation you need to have for it. So we're also looking at some different ways to kind of put the points up for every event, show what it would actually start putting toward your GISP certification. So formally, no. Informally, we've been kicking around for a couple of years.
Yeah, David.
I have a question. How does this kind of put the growth data over this purpose group?
Oh, the NAVTEC data? Yeah, we have it in hand now. It came in as part of this broadband effort, and we can get it to you if you'd like. It's a statewide license, isn't that correct?
It's a state agency license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for state agency use.
State agency use, so you can put them on the...
No, we cannot distribute it, but you can put it in your web app, web service, back behind that, for mapping. Yeah. So.
Wait, contact you, Mike, get that in.
Yeah, we've got it. We can get it out to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we'd be interested.
Okay, good. Cliff?
I took a real brief training session with Katie Richmond from the Health Department. Created a shape file for all the libraries in the state. If anybody's interested in it, I can send it out to you.
Okay.
Put it up on that contact MOU transportation analysis and send it to them. If you'd like them to host it on their website, then they didn't want to get it.
Okay. We'll get her out. Okay. Yes.
Yes, one letter. I know that Ken Bird is working on sprinkle screen stats, which is just a national program. It's like everybody, we got to have our own mobile tool. So we've had a new site set up for about 3 weeks now where you can delineate watershed and roads and schedules. And do have the integrated net, WPD, and AMP.
Okay, thanks. Anything else? Okay, speaking of June the 3rd, that's a Thursday, so the 4th is the first Friday of June, which would be a meeting date for us if that's available.
That's what I have scheduled.
Okay, so we'll plan on having another meeting on June the 4th. Right now I'm thinking that'll probably be our last meeting till September. Take a break for the summer. Unless something really comes up that we need to address, but right now that's kind of what we're looking at. So same time, 10:30 here, June the 4th. And if there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Those in favor, please say aye.
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 We're adjourned. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know. I've never run across that. Yeah, that's right.